Welcome to the Locked On Steelers podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carter, bringing you your daily dose of all things on the Pittsburgh Steelers. It's Tuesday, February 25th, and that means it's Tony Tuesday time. Tony missed last week because he had some big time and things to do that he skipped out on us. He didn't skip out on us this week. Tony's going to be with us for the whole show. It's a long one. Got a lot of stuff to talk about. Ben Roethlisberger, XFL, Landry Jones. And then we're going to play a game called Quarterback Carousel at the end of it, because there's a lot of talk about where people could go in the NFL. Thought it'd be some fun conversations, some hot takes from both of us, swinging for the fences. I don't necessarily believe everything that I said in that segment, but let's just say it was fun. Let's get into it. All right, everybody, as promised, it's been a while, but it's finally back. He's finally back. It's Tony Tuesdays.
Chris, I am glad to be back. Like you said, it's been too long. It has been, what has it been, 2-3 weeks now since I've been on the show? I apologize.
3 weeks. Yeah, it's all your fault. This guy big timed us for sure last week.
I did for sure.
I was like, hey, man, what time you want to go on? He's like, hey, man, I'm in the, I got center field tickets to the, or what do we call that middle area to Daytona 500. He was hanging out with Kyle Busch's camp before that race.
I don't know if I go that far, but yeah, we did. I did have the chance to get some tickets because the Daytona 500 was rained out. So it was on a Monday. The tickets were much cheaper than it was to get in on Sunday. So yeah, had a chance to do that. And yeah, sorry, Chris, Locked On Steelers got big time. My apologies.
but it's crazy. You saw the crash that everyone was talking about.
Yeah.
Talk about that experience. Cause like, that's, you know, I feel like racing is racing. Like, you know, like I almost said Jeff Gordon and Dale Earnhardt Jr. about, you know, as my joke about Kyle Busch there. And I was like, wait a minute. I don't think either of them even racing. I don't even know. Racing.
No. Yeah. It's that was it. You know, so NASCAR, I mean, I've watched NASCAR, you know, my whole family has been big NASCAR fans when I was growing up. Although when Dale Earnhardt died, they kind of stopped watching. And I guess, you know, kind of I did too. I mean, I never really followed, but when I met my fiance, she's big into NASCAR. And so she wanted to go to these races live. So I finally went to a race live like 3 or 4 years ago, man. It is so much different going to a NASCAR race live. Obviously the cars, you know, as fast as they go, when you see that in person, it's pretty crazy. The noise, the atmosphere on the track, it's a lot of fun. So, you know, it's been a lot of fun going the last couple of years, but this race, Chris, you know, I mean, this was terrifying. That last lap. You know, seeing again, it's one thing to watch it on TV. When you're there in person, the thing that always gets me is when these cars get airborne. And I've seen a couple wrecks now. Obviously, none as bad as what we saw last week, but it always feels to me like these cars are just going to go flying off the track and into the stands, especially as soon as they get airborne because of how fast they're going. So NASCAR does a great job of making sure that doesn't happen. But yeah, that wreck on Sunday was crazy. That car landed where Ryan Newman stopped sliding was basically right in front of where we were. So It was terrifying to watch because, you know, you see the guys get out of the car. We had just seen a race 2 days earlier, went to the truck race where a guy flipped and they flipped his car back over and got him out. This one, they flipped the car over, but they don't get him out. You know, his car was such a mangled mess. It was on fire. Terrifying scene. I really thought something truly horrible had happened when they brought out these black barriers to blockade his car so that people couldn't see. We were high enough that we could still kind of see what was happening. We could tell that they were using the jaws to get to pry him or pry the roof of the car off to get him out of there. Yeah, I really thought something really horrible had happened. So to find out just days later that basically he's fine, other than I guess he has a concussion, a head injury. But other than that, you know, no other injuries. It's just crazy. Yeah, that was a crazy experience. And really glad that Ryan Newman is home and safe.
Yeah, I'm sure as the rest of the sports world is also glad. So while you were enjoying that also last week, you had a chance to enjoy some XFL football with your boy.
Indeed.
Landry Jones.
It's the XFL is great. I know I wrote this on my the Tony takes I sent you last week. The XFL is legitimately fun, and it's legitimately fun in a way that I think the AAF was not. And I can't really put my finger on why. I think the quality of play in the XFL is better. And I talked about it last week, right? There's three players that I think really do make this league. It's PJ Walker, number one. Cardale Jones, I guess, number two, because he had a really bad week this week. I think he threw like two or three interceptions. I mean, there was a point in the game where I think he had completed two passes to his team and like two passes, two interceptions. So it's not great. And then, of course, my boy Landry Jones. Chris, please tell me you've been watching Landry, because not only did he have a game, well, back-to-back game-winning handoffs, well, like back-to-back go-ahead handoffs, and then the game winner. He also, Chris, came back this week, okay, and said, you know what, not only do I hand off good, but I also can throw the ball pretty good because he had two touchdowns in the second half to lead the Renegades back from a halftime deficit against Seattle for another win. He's 2-0 as a starter in the XFL. And like I said last week, I think if Landry Jones were the quarterback for at least 8 games this year, we'd be watching the Steelers in the playoffs.
So when I turned on the XFL game this past weekend, I saw Landry Jones throw 2 first half interceptions.
It's a 60-minute game. It's a 60-minute game. He had a rough go of it. It was back-to-back interceptions, but he came back in the second half, played well, and won the game.
Yeah, that's good. He eventually came around, but I thought the funniest clip I've seen of Landry Jones this whole experience was his first down run. 2 weeks ago, he took off, and it was just Tony. I think you and I could have both beaten him running backwards. Like, it was
the guy's coming off of a catastrophic knee injury. Chris.
Catastrophic.
Yeah, I mean, well, you kept him out for like 3 weeks.
It's just I looked at some of those, and yeah, there were some passes he threw on the money, Tony. That I was actually really impressed with. And I was like, there's the Landry Jones that, you know, but that is Landry Jones. It's like, he'll occasionally give you that fire pass. And then the rest of the game, he'll just be like, meh. And then he's like, please Landry, don't mess up. That's why I understood why the Steelers were kind of like, you know what? We can get a younger version of this.
Right. And what, not only younger, but a cheaper version, right? Cause he was getting into that kind of backup quarterback money. I think his last contract he signed was $2 million, but yeah. You know, I mean, what they're paying Mason Rudolph right now. I mean, really, you just add together Mason Rudolph and Duck and it's nothing.
Yeah.
Even compared to what they would have had to pay Landry. So no, I don't disagree. It is funny that they did reach out to the XFL and tried to get Landry. What was that, back in week 2 or 3, right around the time Ben got injured?
When Ben died, and they were like, somebody.
Anyone? Bueller? Yeah. No, the XFL is fun, though. Are you watching it all? I have to say, I have tried to watch. This was the week I probably watched the least amount, just because, you know, other stuff was going on, and it was on. I kind of kept it on in the background. But have you tried to keep up each week?
I've watched a little bit of each week. I've been busy. Like this past Saturday, I was you know, covering the Pitt basketball game, so that was cool. Right. But you know, I guess if I picked a team right now, it'd be the St. Louis Battlehawks. Purely
Jordan Ta'amu.
What'd you say?
Is that Jordan Ta'amu's team? Is that his name?
I think so. But I'm picking it for another reason. My boy Will Clark. Defensive end, used to play for the Bengals. He was a third-round draft pick a few years ago for them. But Will Clark's a Pittsburgh kid, and I played at Alder Dice football with the guy. He was a ridiculously tall defensive end who he was a freshman when I was a senior, and I remember blocking him in practice and be like, oh, god damn! Just get away from me. Go the other side. He's with the Battlehawks now. And he had a cool interview after the game because the defense had a big game, and I think they had a game-winning like forced turnover. So I'm rooting for them because I'm rooting for him. Hopefully want to see him succeed anytime someone from the City League and Pittsburgh sports is in, I'm down. And there's a few other guys from Pittsburgh around. I think there's even another Pittsburgh kid from the City League that's on the Battlehawks. I forget his name right now, but yeah. So I'm keeping up with it, and I think it's done a good job. I gotta see what the ratings were this week, but the ratings in week 2 were just as good as ratings in week 1.
Yeah, they were pretty decent, and that's a good sign. We'll see if it has the staying power, right? Because it's, you know, it's really when we get into, I guess, right around now, right? Once you get past that initial hype of the league, are you really gonna watch every week? This is when fans are really deciding. I have to say, I didn't watch. I mean, I watched all of week 1. I watched a lot of week 2. Week 3, like I said, I had it on. I didn't watch. I didn't watch intently. So we'll see. Maybe even I fall off. Although, God, I can't do that to Landry. I can't do that to my boy. What do you think about the interviews of the players, like right as they're coming off the field? Because week 1, it was very jarring. My fiance couldn't do it. She like didn't want to watch because it was. She said it was bad TV. You know, as like a guy throwing an interception, like, oh, what happened on that play? And, of course, this all culminated, what was it, last week with Matt McGloin when he came off the field saying, like, we need to change the game plan after he had thrown 2 interceptions.
I think that, oh yeah, that was a hilarious interview. At first, I was kind of like, okay, because like there was like one interview by Diana Rossini on the sidelines of one of the teams. I forget which team it was, but she was interviewing a guy on the bench, and she's like, "You want me to leave you alone now?" And he was like, "Actually, yes, please." Like he was like terrified of saying the wrong things.
Yeah.
But I think people are getting used to it, because I think now like they're coming back, and I'm pretty sure like these guys are being talked throughout the week, not just talked about football advice, but like, hey, you know, this was this. We need to put on a show. This needs to be entertaining. And I think they're kind of getting it, because some of these interviews are pretty cool. People are getting really excited. You know, there's the guy smashing a beer can over his head at the end of the game.
That's right.
I think that there's stuff like that that can reach out to fans. And it's also fast-paced. It's 10-minute half times. They don't mess around with challenges too long. You know, they keep the game moving, and that's what they're prioritizing, is they're selling something to you that you don't have to spend your whole day watching if you don't want to. You know, you pick a game, you do with that, and I think it's good. They said that this week they had their highest attended games so far. So I mean, obviously people are still going to them. Now I'm still looking for I'm still looking for TV ratings here. I've been clicking around here, but not finding anything. They said that the week two ratings were still very good. So you know, we'll see, because it could really if it lasts. And here's the funny thing. Here's the real interesting thing is that, and not that this will happen, because we'll get into this later about the CBA. But imagine if the players with the NFLPA actually go on strike, and the NFL is like, okay, we'll try to do what we did the last time you went on strike and get some scabs. Well, now all the best scabs are on XFL contracts.
Right. So that's true.
The quality of play that was going to take a huge dip anyway is going to take an even bigger dip. And now I think the NFLPA would have that much more staying power in saying like, okay, you got to give us what we want. But again, I don't think they're going to do that, because the NFLPA is one of the weakest sports unions in all of sports. And that's unfortunate, but that is what it is. But yeah, man, I think the XFL is doing fine, and I'm excited to see where it goes.
Same. I hope it lasts. And like you said, you know, this could be a case where like if the NFL were to have some sort of player dispute, that they wouldn't be able to get XFL players. The other thing that's going to happen here for the XFL, even if it does last for a year, a lot of these players are probably going to go to the NFL, right? I mean, you got to imagine if PJ Walker keeps playing the way he's playing, that guy's going to be on an NFL team next year. And what does that do to the product of the XFL? Right. You know, how long can they just be this like a league built on players the NFL hasn't recognized yet?
Yeah.
I don't know how long that can last, because if it's any point where like the NFL is just plucking these guys away every year, and so every year these XFL teams are trying to rebuild their roster, so their best talent's getting, you know, going away. I don't know that you can actually sustain a league that's fun to watch on that style. So they're going to have to try and retain this talent, and then they're going to start paying these guys big money, and then, you know, it just gets into that cycle that all these secondary leagues get into, where they're just, you know, they kill themselves trying to keep their best players and overspending, and then, you know, they run out of money, and that's the end of the league. So yeah, I guess that's another thing to watch for.
I agree. So there's a lot of things to watch for to see where this goes, but it's exciting right now, and that's all that we could really ask for from the XFL, considering how quickly the AAF failed. I don't think the XFL has that kind of failure anywhere in sight so far. But with that, we're going to take a quick break, get a word from our sponsors, and then we'll be back talking about some Ben and some free agency. All right, back to it here. Tony, yesterday I went off on the show about why everyone should be excited that Ben Roethlisberger is back to throwing. Man, you know, you and I, we both sat there, in training camp, and then we saw how the year played out. How crazy to see you. Where are you on the side of what Ben throwing? Is it a big deal? Is it not a big deal? Because he was throwing a football, not a tennis ball.
I know. He's a quitter. He's a quitter, Chris. He said he was going to throw tennis balls, and he quit on throwing tennis balls. How'd he quit on tennis balls? How dare he?
But here's the thing, Tony, is that a lot of people were either hyping this up. Like I talked about yesterday, how someone had all the highlights put together of him just throwing that practice football, and then they would put in plays of the Steelers catching touchdowns.
Yes.
And then even threw a Thaddeus Moss highlight touchdown catch in there. I was like, you know, I get that. But then there was also the complete opposite that was like, oh man, he looks so out of shape. And actually, he actually looked in shape. I was like, he wasn't fat in the picture or in the video. But I found it actually interesting because everyone's giving their takes about if it's serious, if it's good, if it's bad. I think what tells me that it's good is that the Steelers were willing to post that video and play into the hype of the moment, because that's something the Steelers do. The Steelers are very traditional. Bert Loudon, they're always very like, hey, you know, here's an official statement from the team. This is from the doctor. This is from the coach. This is from the GM. This is from the player, whoever, or from the owner. But this was just a straight up video. They just posted it to the account with a couple of a pair of eyeballs on it and put it out there. That to me was the biggest sign that I think Ben Roethlisberger is in a good place right now.
Yeah, it is. It is interesting. They're kind of playing that media game, right? Where, you know, you've had, and I was joking before about the whole Ben quit on.
I couldn't tell you were joking there, Tony. Yeah.
You never know. There's been all this narrative, and it's really been going on for a while, right? Like, Ben's done. He's over with it, you know. And then you got this weird, like, he quit on the team type stuff, and, you know, they should cut him and that kind of thing. And so, yeah, you're right. It is weird that they're like, the Steelers are playing into that. Like, all right, everybody shut up. Look, he's throwing a football, like, the day after he had his appointment with the doctor. He's fine. Let's move on. I will say this, though. I mean, I was so hyped watching it. I didn't expect it, right? You expect to – what do they say? The first thing he's going to do is he's going to throw underhand tennis balls. Like, imagine if that's what this clip was, right? It's like the eyeball emoji with Ben Roethlisberger, like, throwing an underhanded tennis ball. And I'm like, oh, my, he's back. That would have been very silly. But, you know, him throwing a football, this is exactly what we Steeler fans wanted to see, which is him not only on schedule, but according to reports now, maybe even ahead of schedule, could be cleared, he said, in the next 2.5 to 3 months, which puts him, you know, back in time for the summer. He can start, you know, potentially working out with some of the young receivers, and then that puts him right in for training camp. This is awesome, man. I'm super pumped about it. I really am, because, you know, and I've said this going all the way back, right? You know, the carbonite that I'm frozen in is all because I believe this team in 2020 can be a Super Bowl contender with Ben Roethlisberger playing at any sort of high level. It doesn't even need to be like top 10 quarterback, just far better than whatever that Steeler quarterback play was a year ago. Because with this defense, they can ride this thing out through the AFC, through what looks to be potentially an even weaker AFC. It's going to be Mahomes. You have Lamar, and then, you know, the Patriots may not be the Patriots anymore. The Chargers are giving up on Rivers. So, you know, the AFC is going through this transitional phase. I think the Steelers can be right there. And it starts with Ben Roethlisberger being healthy, which, by all accounts so far, he's on that track.
He is on that track right now. And I agree with you. I mean, look at the Niners just last year. They were 3-13. They didn't have Jimmy Garoppolo. They had a top pick in Bosa. I always mix up which one is who. Nick Bosa, I believe, is the one that they got. But you know, they got that, and then they were in the Super Bowl, and, you know, they were a few plays from even winning the Super Bowl. Yeah. I think the Steelers are in a much better place than the Niners were the last year, and I think Ben Roethlisberger, even old man Ben Roethlisberger, would be levels above what Jimmy Garoppolo was this year. I think the biggest question is, can they reestablish a run game? Can they stay healthy? And can that defense be the same super dynamic, you know, just train of insane plays that they were this past season? Because if the Steelers had an offense that was forcing teams to get desperate, you know, and I'm not saying a 30 points a game type of offense, but even like one offense that averaged 24, 25 points a game, just, you know, middle of the league, you know, not averaging like 18 points a game like they did this year.
Yeah.
If they could get an offense like that, man, I think a lot more teams would have to take those risks. You'd see players like, you know, quarterbacks like Josh Allen wouldn't be able to be conservative or stick to a certain game plan. They'd have to kind of step out of themselves to play a little bit more. So I'm right with you. I think that this is going in the right direction. I want to move on to more NFL CBA stuff. Tony, we haven't got to talk about this together on the show. And I'm sitting here thinking, you know, I've talked about a little here, but there were some more updates over the weekend that we can talk about here. The NFL's Board of Player Representatives voted no on the CBA. But then there was a clarification that came out about the process of what that even means. Adam Schefter posted it on his Twitter account. And the NFLPA's official statement was, there's been some confusion about the process that governs the Board of Player Representatives vote on the proposed CBA. And here's the key points. They said the proposed CBA is sent to the full player membership for a ratification vote only if a majority of the board votes to send it to them. If a majority of the board does not vote to send the proposed CBA to the full player membership, it will not be sent. And if only if two-thirds or more of the board votes to recommend to full player membership that the proposed CBA be ratified, only then will it be sent with a formal recommendation. So it seems like, you know, there was a split there, but still, even if it had passed the board, like even if it won, it went 6-5 the other way, that they still couldn't have like endorsed it and said, hey, everyone vote for this and get everyone behind it. It still could have wound up being voted down by the players themselves.
And thank goodness for that. Because I got to tell you, and I posted a little bit about this on Twitter, and people got back and said, hey, why do you hate the idea of a 7-team playoff in each conference? Because that would have meant that you would have watched Duck in a playoff game last year. And that's true. The Steelers at 8-8 would have made the playoffs last year if this new CBA goes through. But I just look, the NFL finds ways to screw things up all the time, right? You and I both said, right, it's one of the worst run sports organizations in the world. The one thing that they've actually gotten right is the idea of the 32-team league, the 16-game season, and then the 12-team playoff, right? Six in each conference. The two byes, right? The reseeding. All of that, I think, works really, really, really well. So this whole idea that they want to add this 17th game, they're going to add the second bye week, they're going to extend the playoffs out, they're going to go till, what is it, the end of February, was Adam Schefter was saying. I hate all of that. And maybe it's just because, you know, not even say I've grown up on this, right? Because this all started in 2002. So it's not like it's been my entire life watching it this way. But I think it is a really good system. You can, you know, the way that the NFL schedule comes out is you can, you know, I could tell you 50 years from now who the Steelers are going to be playing, you know, because of the way the schedule works. And it's just a rotation every year. And, you know, the idea that they're going to get rid of one of the bye weeks so that there's only going to be one bye week and that team's going to have home field and then everyone else is playing week one. I think that, you know, I like the idea of two bye weeks. The one has home field advantage. The other just gets the bye week. I love the system. I just feel like, you know, the NFL, once again, going to find a way to ruin this. And then adding the seventh team. Look, the Steelers were 8-8 last year. I would have loved to have watched Duck play in a playoff game if he had won two of the last three games, but he did not. That team, you know, what did they? They lost their last three games, right? And then we want to watch that team play against the Chiefs. I mean, that's not going to be a fun game for anyone to watch. And I get it's more football, but it's not good football. And it just, you know, yeah, I'm hopeful that they can come to some different agreement here that at least keeps the structure of 16 game regular season, 12 team playoff, keep the two bye weeks. Anything else they want to do, you know, that's fine. But I really hope they keep the structure of the league intact because I really do think it's what the one thing the NFL has gotten absolutely perfect.
No, I do think that's been that's actually absolutely. I think the playoff thing was I liked the way that the season works as is. I don't think that needs to change. I get that they want another game of revenue because they know they can make more money.
Yeah, and that's what it's all about. It's all about the money.
Yeah, and it's just so frustrating. It's just like, oh, man. You know, and I get that they're trying to take away a preseason game. I really think that the players should push for a larger chunk of the money. I know that some people are like, well, the players, they're millionaires. They make enough money. I think that's the most nonsensical argument out there. You know, the players currently make, what, 47% of the revenue compared to the owners, 51%. And considering that there's exponentially more players than owners – and the players are the one putting their bodies on the line, I think that there should be a significant change. I think it should be more than half going to the players as far as revenue-wise, and the owners should back off a little bit. Now, of course, that will never happen. The owners will keep an iron fist on that.
Didn't they put in the CBA that, like, if you agree to a 17th game, then we up your revenue to like 48.5%, right? It was like goes from 47 to 48, but it goes from 48 to 48.5. You agree to the 17th game, something like that. I believe was in the CBA this year, to like incentivize the players to take on this extra game.
It takes. They need more players. They need more everything. And also with you, I think the playoffs. And I brought this up on the show. I think it cheapens the NFL playoffs by forcibly adding another team to each conference. The NFL playoffs are cool because it's not half the league, you know?
Right.
I think the Stanley Cup playoffs are so times. It's like, that team's not even good. Like, why are they even there? And then they get hot, and I'm just like, oh, but they weren't, they, you know, but it's not, it cheapens the sport. You know, I want to see the best teams actually be the best teams. Like, you know, when the Steelers won as the sixth seed, they were 11-5. Like, they, you know, they, right. They had to bust their butts to get that sixth seed. You know, you could just meander and be mediocre and make the playoffs. I don't like that. And
even the Titans this year, who were the sixth seed, they were a hot team at the end of the year.
Yeah.
And they rode that into the playoffs, beating the Patriots. That's okay, right? I mean, I think, you know, and I know that this is like, you know, it's a very weird point of like, the sixth seed is fine. The seventh seed, you ruin everything. But I mean, you know, when was the last time a seventh, you know, you really felt like, oh, that team really, you know, they really deserved to make the playoffs and they didn't. I mean, it's happened like once or twice that I can remember. Every other year, though, you know, it's like this year where, you know, did the Rams, I believe, would have been the seventh seed in the NFC. The Steelers, the seventh seed in the AFC. I like watching the Steelers. I like watching the Steelers play in the playoffs. You know what I like better than that? I like the sport as it is. And so, you know, I would rather the Steelers not play in the playoffs if it means not compromising the way the NFL is run today, which I think is really well done. If the Steelers wanted to make the playoffs in 2019 or 2018, for that matter, they should have won one more game. That's really what it was going to take.
No, I agree. You know, I think it's kind of crazy, but it'll be interesting to see how this goes. I'm sure you and I are going to talk about this more on throughout this offseason, you know, because – and I think another vote's supposed to be expected next week or something, the end of this week. I forget all the processes, but
yeah.
But yeah, so it'll be interesting to see how this goes. I just think the players, they need to stand up for themselves. And if they consent to a 17th game in the regular season, they need to get something big. And, you know, I know they're proposing, you know, taking away marijuana testing and stuff like that. I think that's the tip of the iceberg for what the players deserve. All right. But that's that segment. We're going to come back. We're going to play a game. In our final segment called Quarterback Carousel. What is that about? I'll explain after this. All right, we're back. So, Tony, we're going to play this game called Quarterback Carousel. Between you and me, you all can play along at home if you're listening to it, or at work, or wherever you're listening to the Locked On Steelers podcast. This game is based off of this crazy free agency period that we're in. We have never seen a time when so many potential and actual franchise quarterbacks are basically being shopped around. You got Tom Brady, you got Phillip Rivers. There's even talk of Cam Newton. You got other backups floating around. Where will Brissett stay with the Colts even though he signed a contract? Is Tannehill going to stay with the Titans? Who's going to take Marcus Mariota? Is Trubisky going to be there? Who's going to get Teddy Bridgewater? So many questions as far as who. And then you still got the draft to consider. Joe Burrow, Tua Tagovailoa, Justin Herbert, being among other guys that are in that crew. So, Tony, I created a list of players that you have with you.
Yep.
That I have with you. I'm going to name a team. Okay. That I'm not sure. I mean, some of them I'm sure. I feel like I'm confident about it. But, you know, things could switch up. I want you to name your guy that you think is going to be the quarterback for the starting quarterback for them next year. And then I'll name my guy and we'll see how close we are. We can argue about this. All right. First off, easy one. Cincinnati Bengals.
Cincinnati Bengals is going to be Joe Burrow. Even though, you know, he has small hands now. I don't know if you heard this.
9-inch hands or whatever the
yeah.
Measurement.
Small hands. No, you can't have small. Old hands can't do it.
If you don't know what I'm talking about, what Tony's talking about, it came out, you know, the hand measurement sizes for a lot of the quarterbacks, and Joe Burrow's hands are 9 inches, which are like smaller than even Tua Tagovailoa, who has like 4 inches on, or 3 inches on. I forget how much it is, but still, the point is, and small hands have always been a thing that make people get worried about quarterbacks, because you want a quarterback that has big hands that can comfortably throw the ball. It's just one of those things. It honestly doesn't matter that much. I mean,
it's a huge deal, Chris. Have you ever seen Joe Burrow throw a football? I don't think he ever has. It's impossible.
It's impossible. It's impossible. Yeah.
With only 9-inch hands, you literally cannot grip a football. I'm pretty sure it's impossible.
It's hilarious. All right. So moving down the line, let's go to the Miami Dolphins, because they have Ryan Fitzpatrick still there. Now, a lot of people think Tua Tagovailoa is going to get drafted there. Some are saying maybe Justin Herbert. Some are saying, you know, they might try to get a vet. I think they're drafting somebody. What do you have going on with the Dolphins?
You know, I would love – it's got to be Tua, right? I mean, it makes the most sense, you know, the tank for Tua thing. Although I've heard and you know, I'm here in Orlando, so I know a lot of Dolphin fans. They're saying that, you know, from what people are reporting in the Miami area, that they like Herbert, that the Dolphins organization likes Herbert more than they like Tua. I would love, though, if, you know, if Brady's going to leave, it's a sneaky spot for him to go, right? Go to Miami, where they would play the Patriots twice a year.
Yeah.
I'd love to see it. I'm going to go chalk here, and I'm going to say Tua, because that's what I would do if I was Miami. I would take Tua. But I suppose it's possible to take Herbert. They have, what, the fifth pick? They're going to take a quarterback there. So I'm going to say Tua.
I'm with you. I'm saying Tua. Herbert, I'm also not sold on Herbert. You know, he's not a champion quarterback the way that Tua is. And I know that Tua's hurt and everything, but I look at the way that he plays. Like, I look at guys, can you win? Can you lead? Like, that's just as important to me as just measurables. And that's what Herbert has on his sides. He has a cannon of an arm. He has huge hands. He's really tall. He has the build of a prototypical quarterback. And how many times have people said that about a guy that's turned out to be a complete bum? And I'm not saying Herbert's going to be a bum, but I'm going to go with the guy that was able to win in the SEC and be a good quarterback and be a very efficient quarterback that people were scared of over Herbert at this point. Dolphins will get him at the fifth spot, unless the Lions pick him up. Then that's a whole other story, because some people are saying that there's rumors. Whoa, I'm jumping the gun. Don't do that, Chris. We're getting to the Lions.
Spoilers.
So anyways, next on the list, working our way down to the AFC West, the Las Vegas Raiders.
Okay, so there's a lot of talk here that this is going to be Brady, right? That they're willing to offer Brady all this money. Brady wants the money. Is it just a ploy to get the Patriots to do his bidding? Will the Patriots actually let him go? I do not have the Brady going to Vegas. So, and I don't know what he's going to do. See, like, if a guy like Stafford became available, could I imagine Stafford going to Vegas if they're ready to get rid of Carr? Yes, right? Something like that could happen. But I'm just going to say they're going to keep Carr for one more year. So I'm going to keep Carr in Vegas.
Wait, so Tony, the tinfoil hat Tony has been the entire way through this right now.
Yeah. It's chalk so far, but don't worry. There's a lot. I'm saving the best for last.
All right. We'll get to, I'm sure you have some interesting takes coming here. I want to say no on Carr. I wouldn't put it past John Gruden, because now he has like full powers and everything with the Raiders, to say, screw it, we're trading up, we're getting a super quarterback he wants, and he'll get Herbert or Tua, whoever he likes out of the draft. Because I think he wants to prove to everyone that he is the quarterback guru that he said. And it does look like Derek Carr is uncomfortable in Oakland. I don't know who would he get.
I don't know where he goes. You know, where does where do the Raiders go to get a quarterback? I don't know.
It's a very good question. I'll say Carr for now, simply because they don't have the answers. But let's go to the one where they definitely have to get a new quarterback, and that's the Los Angeles Chargers.
This is where I think Tom Brady goes. I don't think he comes back to New England. I know, look, and I work with a guy who's a big Patriots fan, and he's telling me every single day, Tony, stop believing these rumors. This is just a ploy. He just wants this team to reload at wide receiver. But here's my thing. They just did reload at wide receiver, right? They got Sanu. They got N'Keal Harry. So, you know, in order for this team's going to have to just reload again at wide receiver. And I guess they could bring in A.J. Green or something like that. They're also going to have to pay Brady a ton of money. I don't know how much cap space they have. So New England's not bringing Brady back. Brady's going somewhere else. And that place, to me, makes the most sense for him to go to the Chargers, where they can't sell any tickets there. They play in a soccer stadium right now. That new stadium's opening. They need to sell those tickets. They need to break the bank on somebody. And the one guy that's going to do that is Tom Brady. So this is where I have Tom Brady going, to the Chargers, which does throw a wrench in the AFC, because that Chargers team was rattled with injuries last year. If they get healthy and they bring in Tom Brady, I guess they could be dangerous in the AFC.
I'm gonna go against you here for the first time. I'm gonna say this is the team that drafts Herbert. I think that they're gonna go for a franchise quarterback. I get that they want to have the allure of bringing someone in, but I think honestly, they know that they can't. If they get the farm and they get Tom Brady, and then, you know, he ends up being old man Tom Brady, and then it really was just Bill Belichick just pulling the strings, then fans are going to be so disinterested so fast, because they're like, we just sold the farm for this guy for the next 2 years, so now we can't even be good. Whereas if you get a rookie quarterback, there's still a chance. You know what? This kid's young. We got other talent around him. They have Mike Williams. They have Keenan Allen. You know, they'll probably get another running back in the draft. You know, there's talent to be had. You know, with the Chargers, and they have Derwin James on defense and Casey Hayward. So like, I think they'll get a young quarterback, and I think they'll actually get Herbert there. With that, Moving forward, the Indianapolis Colts, you know, Jacoby Brissett signed an extension this past year, but, you know, looking at the way that he played, some people feel like he won't be back. Do you think he sticks around, or do you think the Colts make a move?
If I'm the Colts, I probably want to make a move because this is the year to do it, right? When we talk about, you know, you could go get a Phillip Rivers and that, you know, they talk about this, the windows every team has. I mean, the Colts are kind of in that window right now, it feels like. So this would be the team to go do it. Okay, what's Brissett's contract look like, though? Because I think if it's too big, then you just can't get out of it, right? Is it $20 million a year? Am I reading this right? He has a $21 million cap hit this year. I guess they could just cut him, though, and save it. All right, you know what? We're going crazy again. Yeah, they're going to cut Brissett, save the money.
Whoa.
And then they're
whoa.
And then they're gonna sign Phillip Rivers. I think I had Phillip Rivers going to Tennessee, though. Teddy? Is this Teddy's spot? This could be where Teddy or Jameis. Nah, Jameis. Okay, I'm going to go.
Well, so just for your records, if they were to cut Brissett this year, they would save only $9 million.
Right. But this is the last year of it. It's a two-year extension. They save $9 million. They eat a bunch of dead cap. Do they have cap space to make this work? I think they have like $100 million to get. $86 million. They're paying $21.5 million to their backup now. Who cares? I mean, when you have $86 million in cap space, who cares? I'm going Teddy. What are my other options? Stafford. Do I think I'm going to go Teddy. Let's just go Teddy. We'll go easy on this one. Teddy Bridgewater goes to Indy.
Jam. Jam. Teddy jam for me. Yeah. Oh, damn. Sorry. I put out the Teddy Riley on you.
You did.
I'm going to and for any old head that got my reference, please let me know, because I seriously wonder if a lot of people are like, what the heck was Chris doing with that random thing he did? That was a song. It's called Teddy's Jam. It's actually, you know, great 90s. Anyways, back to this. The Colts, I think this is where Phillip Rivers goes. I really think that you're gonna see him go to this team. They do need I think they want a veteran. They may also triple up here. They may draft a guy because they know that Brissett isn't the man. But I think that they're going to try and pick a Jordan Love or an Eason type of guy.
Like a second or third round guy?
Right. They're going to get a guy that's like, you know, we like him, but we want him to develop. So they'll have a backup in Brissett that won't force this kid's hand yet. They'll get a pro in Rivers that will give them a shot to, you know, maybe have a franchise quarterback, see if the change of scenery really works for him. He'll be indoors, so coming from the West Coast will work for him, because I think also Phillip Rivers is absolutely going to pick where he goes. He's not going to go – I don't think he wants to go anywhere cold weather. I think he wants to stay in the nice temperatures the way that he's been used to. And I mean, you know, this is a team that also with Marlon Mack, with Quentin Nelson, they have the ability to run the ball. I think they have a capable defense that's young and talented. Putting a franchise quarterback there wouldn't be a bad move. So Phillip Rivers, I have going to the Colts. Going down the line, Tennessee Titans. You were talking about them earlier. You have them keeping Tannehill, or you have them making a big move?
I do not have them keeping Tannehill. I think with Rivers on the market, I think they say, well, wait, hold on a second. Like, Tannehill's a nice one. But remember, this is a team, and they did this game plan-wise. Yes, they wanted to run the ball a lot. Remember, they only threw the ball at Tannehill like 6 or 8 times in these games. I mean, they did not expose Tannehill to these playoff games. Does Vrabel feel like he can upgrade here? Again, this is another team that's got to feel like, boy, we were so close a year ago. They can keep their core together, and if they feel like Rivers can be an upgrade at quarterback, this is probably a mistake if they do this, but I'm going to say that they're going to feel like, hey, we can upgrade with Rivers here. This puts us within a Super Bowl window of right now. We don't have to pay big money to Tannehill. We get Rivers on the end of his contract. So this is another one, Chris, like you were saying, where you could double up, right? Tennessee could take Rivers, and then in the back half of the draft, maybe they take, you know, Jacob Eason or Jordan Love or Jalen Hurts, something like that, and say, hey, you know what? That's our guy we build on, and right now we're going for the Super Bowl with Rivers. So this is where I have Phillip Rivers going.
All right. I'm swinging for the fences with this one, Tony. You ready? You ready?
Brady? Brady!
No, not Brady. Think younger. Much younger.
Younger Brady.
No, not he's not actually Brady. No,
Jimmy G.
Oh, no, he's fine, Tony. We're talking Dak Prescott.
What?
Because the Cowboys, Jerry Jones has spurned him, and he's going to go somewhere else. Jerry Jones, I don't need Dak Prescott. He's going to draft another young quarterback this year and think he's going to mold him with Zeke and all that other stuff. Yeah, I'm saying Dak Prescott. is good is going to be the guy in Tennessee. Somehow, some way, they're going to get him over there. Yes, he's the number two. If you look in free agency, he's the number two ranked guy on Pro Football Focus. So you know, when it comes to free agency, you know, Drew Brees is already with the Saints. I think Dak not getting his money in Dallas after, especially the way he stuck up for Jerry Jones during the anthem stuff. I think that that's going to leave a sour taste in his mouth. Now he may be willing to come back, you know, absolutely, and just be like, you know, let me stick with that, stick with the team that has raised me, because and be worried about that. But you know, new coach, new system, he might be like, yeah, forget that. I want to go to another team with a really strong running back, with a really good defense, and he'll have AJ Brown there, a young receiver he can work with. So I think Dak would be interesting. Plus Mike McCarthy, he might actually want his own new young quarterback, because that's his last time he won was when he had a young Aaron Rodgers. So Dak Prescott to the Titans, mark it down.
That is so crazy. And here's the thing. Ooh. So that was, he's in the same draft class as Wentz and Goff, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So that's an interesting draft class, because I thought that might be the draft class. This is a year ago. I was thinking this, that might be the draft class where someone actually lets their quarterback go, right? You never see this in sports. When you draft a guy who's starter capable, you just keep him forever, because that's what you have to do in the NFL. When you hit on a quarterback, you keep him, you pay him the money. And of the three of those guys, I think right now you'd have to say Dak is the best of those three, right? Goff is making absurd money. Wentz is making, you know, good money for a guy who, you know, has some injury problems. And Dak's the best one. If Dallas actually does let Dak go, it's an insane move on their part. Although I was just reading today, Chris, that they have not had any contract negotiations with Dak since, I think, September, they said. And that part of that, I think, is because of this, you know, the way the salary cap is working right now, and freeing up cap space is difficult because they don't have a CBA in place. So we're going into like the uncapped year type thing, all the inner workings there. But if you're the Cowboys, just franchise tag him. I mean, what are you doing? You can't let Dak go now. He just had his career year.
Yeah, I think it would be a huge mistake for them to let go of Dak Prescott, but I think that the Cowboys are they're in an interesting spot. We'll get to them in a little bit. Moving down the lines, the lines to the Lions. Ha ha.
I was gonna say down the Lions.
Yeah, we got right. So, do you think Stafford stays, or do you think that this is a new spot for somebody?
This could be a new spot for somebody. Do they pick really high in the draft? Because this could be just a case where they let.
No, they get the third overall pick. And
third.
So originally everyone was saying they're going to draft Jeff Okuda because he's the best cornerback, and he's going to be a supreme talent on defense. And that's a key position that they know they need. And he could pair with Darius Slay, blah, 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 blah. But then other people are starting to pontificate. Well, what if they use this pick to get Tua or Herbert, or they trade with the Bengals and they give the Bengals a ransom salary, even though the Bengals have said they're not trading, but this is what people do. They guess and they speculate all this time. There's a shot they could draft one of those top quarterbacks right there with that third overall spot, or trade out of it and get some more capital for it. I have Stafford staying. I think that they're going to try and give him more time. He's a franchise quarterback. He knows the offense, and he's not the problem with the team. But what do you have?
Yeah, I mean, okay, so going into this, I just figured, yeah, Stafford stays. But now that you're saying this and I'm looking it up, yeah. So the sports books actually have Detroit is the second most likely to take Tua. I didn't even realize this. This could actually happen. And then that throws a wrench in another kind of domino that I have here. So I'm going to say he stays, but boy, if he goes, he could be someone I could imagine playing for the Patriots.
That's actually a great observation, I think. And especially because you got New England coach.
Yeah,
that's there's some stuff there, and he still has a cannon when he's healthy, so that's an interesting thing there. Moving down the line, Dallas.
Dallas is sticking with Dak. I just cannot imagine after the season he just had that letting him go now doesn't seem smart. Although, look, I get it, right? That these quarterback salary numbers continue to go up and up, and you know there was talk that he wanted $40 million a year. I don't think that was true, but. You know, he's going to get in the 35 range, right? Which is what Wilson got, which is what Ben got. He'll probably be the highest paid quarterback. So this is just what they have to do. And I understand why teams are kind of balking at that a little bit, but not for Dak. Dak has to get it. So I think Dak stays in Dallas, at least on a franchise tag.
That's interesting. All right. I'm going to throw another swinging for the fences here. Can you guess who I'm swinging with?
Tom Brady.
No.
Okay.
Another veteran quarterback.
Phillip Rivers? Well, you already had Rivers going somewhere, right?
Yeah. Not actually a free agent right now.
Oh, interesting. Foles?
No.
Okay, I give up. No, Jameis is a free agent. I'm trying to look through this list. Trubisky?
No, hell no.
Oh, no, I was like, Trubisky's going to be a backup somewhere. So is Mariota. Can't be Mariota, right?
No, definitely not Mariota.
Ben Roethlisberger. I have no idea. Fitzpatrick? I'm literally just going to start naming every quarterback in the league, Chris.
Superman Cam Newton is going to be big move. That's what they're going to do right here. Why? Because look, Carolina's got a new coach that they don't like Cam. I think that the Cowboys will also draft a quarterback, but I think ultimately they're also going to want to protect the young quarterback. They were happy to start Dak, but you put in Cam Newton, the big name, the big face. He's got that swagger and that character. I think with Ezekiel Elliott, they might take that shot. This is also perfect. I think that would be really exciting just to see Cam Newton go to the NFC East. Oh, that would just be so much fun. Even if he is actually done, I don't think he is. I think that people are a little too quick to jump on his grave and bury the guy. But man, I would love to see that with the running game that they have there with Zeke. So that's my pick there. But let's keep moving down the list. We're gonna skip the Giants with Daniel Jones. Oh, we could talk Washington, I guess. Because Dwayne Haskins is there. He didn't have a good rookie season at all. So some people are saying that, but a lot of people are saying you have to give him another year. Do you think he's the starting quarterback next year, or do you think they sign someone else?
Well, okay, when you were talking about Cam Newton, I was thinking, like, where would – because obviously I don't think he's going to Dallas, because I think Dallas is going to keep Dak. So I was trying to think of other teams that, if Cam is going to leave Carolina, and it kind of feels like this is the right time for those sides to part ways, right? Mm-hmm. Where would it be an interesting landing spot for Cam? Because, like you talked about, he's got these injury concerns that I think are real, and you have to at least worry about it, especially if you're a team that's kind of on the brink, right? We talk about these teams that in this year, using this year to say, hey, I have a good quarterback. I have a decent quarterback. Maybe I can use this to upgrade a little bit. I don't know if Cam is that guy. And so I'm thinking down the list, and I actually thought Washington, because of the Ron Rivera connection, that this could be an interesting spot for Cam to land. I'm going to say Haskins stays here as the, the quarterback, although, you have a whole new coaching staff coming in. So I don't know what's going to happen here. But I'll just say, they keep Haskins because, I don't know, giving up on a guy after 1 year. And he was, the 17th pick or something like that? I mean, I know the Cardinals set the precedent with this. Just kind of giving up on a guy after year one. But I don't know if Ron Rivera is going to be that guy.
Locked On listeners, I'm having – because Tony somehow, since he's taken his vacation, he's joined the big boys – of and he parties with Kyle Busch. Now he's like more reasoned in his takes. I'm the one that's wild here. I think Haskins is going to get a chance to start, but they are going to sign a quarterback. They have $61 million in cap space right now. Alex Smith is still there. I don't know if Alex Smith is going to, because he's saying he wants to come back. I think they take a shot at a guy that's not going to cost them a whole bunch of money. He will cost them a pretty penny, but he's not a guy that's definitively a starter, but they need someone who can, if Dwayne Haskins falls apart, they need an answer. I'm going to go with a guy that we all know, the Red Ryder BB gun, Andy Dalton.
Oh yeah. Andy Dalton. I forgot he's going to be available. I should have prepared better for this list. I apologize. Where is Andy Dalton going? Oh, I know where he's going. Never mind. Keep going.
So we're still going on the list. Yep. Saints have already announced that Drew Brees is returning, so that's kind of out of the point. Mm-hmm. Going to the Buccaneers with Bruce Arians. This is an interesting pick because Jameis Winston is there. There's some talk that he might come back, but a lot of people are like, no, he's worn out his welcome. I think Bruce Arians is done with him, but what do you think?
So, okay, first of all, we have to take our hat off to the 30-30. I mean, anyone who could put up 30 touchdowns and 30 interceptions in the same season, spectacular performance from Jameis. In the 2019 season. So I live in Orlando, right next to Tampa. I know a lot of Buccaneers fans. Like, I know a lot of Buccaneers fans.
Watch your language.
Not a single one likes Jameis. So not a single one likes Jameis. But I think Bruce Arians does. I know you're saying they want to get rid of him. I have a feeling that they're gonna feel the pressure here to bring him back. Now, this is an interesting year where there's going to be all this flip-flopping around. But if you look around, right, you know, if you're looking for a guy who's going to come in as a young quarterback and build with this team, I don't think the Bucs are in any kind of window right now, right? So this could be a team that takes on Cam Newton. I think that would make a lot of sense here. And Bridgewater would make some sense here. But all the other guys we've talked about, right, the Philip Rivers of the world, I don't think those guys, the Bradys of the world, those guys aren't going to Tampa. So I think Cam is an option here if they were to let go of Jameis, but I'm going to say Jameis stays in Tampa and makes everyone I know who's a Bucs fan very, very upset because they've been looking forward to this year when they can be done with watching this guy. But, you know, he did just have LASIK, so, you know, maybe he just couldn't see the field. He literally, you know, they said quarterbacks can't see the field. Jameis literally could not see the field. Maybe that changes for him in 2020.
the joke that I've seen that's a great meme is that LASIK, the LASIK surgery, now Jameis is like, wait, I only have four receivers? I thought there were eight. You know, so that's an interesting take. You talked me off the ledge. I'm going to stick with Winston staying in Tampa Bay. I think they might draft a young guy, maybe a Jalen Hurts, but a guy that they're willing to let rest a little bit. And if Jameis is our Jameis, is it Jameis?
Everyone down here says Jameis. So.
Okay. That's interesting. I call him crab legs.
Same.
but anyways, so Winston stays. We'll go with that. Moving down the line, same division, Carolina Panthers.
Carolina Panthers are just going to draft someone. So this is a Herbert landing spot potentially for me. I don't think Cam goes back. Although I don't think I had. Have I said where Cam's going to go? I think I said maybe Washington, maybe Tampa. You're right. I have no hot takes on this podcast. Real
disappointing, sir.
It is. But this is where I think like Herbert goes or someone like that. This is an easy one for me. They're going to draft a quarterback. So take one of the rookies and put him here. I don't know which one. But Herbert, let's say.
But I think Herbert. I think Herbert's getting picked in the top five.
Really? That high?
I mean, people. The way people are talking about it.
I mean, you're right because this is what happens with these quarterbacks.
I think the Chargers are taking him at six because that's where I picked him to go.
Yeah. I mean, you're right. This is silly season where guys who, you know, Herbert is probably a, you know, end of the first round type of guy if he was being picked on his talent alone, but because he's a quarterback that just, you know, all of a sudden it's like, oh my God, we got to take this guy in the top five. Yeah, that's going to be overdrafted in my eyes.
Yeah, I hear you on that. But I'm also thinking along the lines of what the Panthers, they have a lot to build around. They're looking at trying to find answers to several different things on their roster. It's really interesting to me. So there was a recent Benjamin Solak did a mock draft a couple weeks ago, and he had the Panthers trading up to get Tua. I get that.
I could see that. Yep.
But I think that they look at their ground game and they want someone that's going to be measured, someone that's going to be reasonable, and this is where I think Teddy goes.
Okay, Teddy goes to Carolina. That can make some sense. But if you're going with Teddy, right, you're not drafting a guy, right? Because you're not taking Teddy and supplementing him with like a rookie that you're building. I mean, you got to figure Teddy is your guy, right?
Right. No. Yeah. That's absolutely what I'm saying. That now they may take a guy in like the middle rounds, but this is a team that also just lost Luke Kuechly. This is a team that needs a cornerback. This is a team that needs an interior defensive lineman. The Panthers are in a much bigger rebuilding spot than what many people realize. So yeah. I think they'll be willing to take a decent quarterback and build other skill positions to kind of go. Now, I mean, new coach, so they could easily just take a quarterback. They could easily trade up and be one of those teams that takes Tua or Herbert or or a lot of people love Jordan Love. A lot of people like Eason. There's still Jake Fromm. Yeah, it's an interesting class. But I picked Teddy here because I think he's that veteran. He did really well. He's still in a good age for being a quarterback. I think he's in his very early 30s. So, you know, that's just where I have him going. Moving down the line, the Falcons are keeping Matt Ryan. The Rams are keeping.
Are they? Maybe, you know, Matt Ryan would look good in black and gold. What do you think?
Miss Ye, come and get him.
I'm back.
Yeah, Arizona's keeping Murray. Seattle's keeping Wilson. Niners are keeping Garoppolo. So I'm going to cycle back now because we've gone through all of our teams. What are the Patriots going to do, Tony?
The Patriots are going to get Ryan Tannehill. Ryan Tannehill, who I think might actually be a value for them because
that was the most anticlimactic. I build you up for the biggest conspiracy theory, and you give me Ryan Tannehill.
Hold on. We're going to redo it. And that was take one, everyone. It was a failure. That's what we call a failure in the industry. Chris, you want to set me up for that one more time?
All right, Tony. So I skipped them intentionally because I wanted to come back to them. So we went to the end of the league. We're going back. Who do you have going to the New England Patriots?
Well, Chris, I'm glad you asked for the first time on this podcast. I'm going to have the New England Patriots go off the board here. Okay, we have a whole list here. They could take, you know, a boring pick like Ryan Tannehill. Who would say that? I'm going to have them take Andrew Luck.
What?
Previously seen on the Indianapolis Colts. I thought this the moment he retired. I thought, boy, this is a weird retirement. Now, look, you know, the guy has been through, you know, everything when it comes to injuries. You know, he talks about how much in pain he was. He spent a year away from the game. I don't know if this is the year. Maybe Brady comes back and they let that thing play out for a couple more years. But when Luck first retired, I thought he's going to the Patriots. At some point, Bill Belichick's going to find a way to get Andrew Luck on the Patriots, and we're going to have to go through this whole cycle again. So that is my pick. And maybe it's not this year. Maybe it's 2021. But Luck to the Patriots has always made sense to me from the time he retired. It still makes sense to me today. I understand that the Colts would have to agree to it and have to be some kind of weird compensation package. And the Colts hate the Patriots and all that, you know, going back to Deflategate. But it's still, you know, it's my biggest worry is that the Patriots are going to go from Tom Brady to another, you know, already ready to go franchise quarterback like Andrew Luck.
Jeez. All right. That's the take. That's the take that I was
looking for. We did it. All right. Just cut that first part out. Leave the second part in. Thank you.
No, totally. Actually, this is going to be completely unedited. So everyone's going to hear what you just said. So now you've given me the room to be the normal Chris Carter and not be the wild one. I'm going to say Tom Brady stays in New England. And this is just personal preference. I want him to stay there because I want the Steelers to play him again and play him with a fully loaded roster and a defense that's firing on all cylinders because I think that they could absolutely take the New England Patriots with a healthy Ben, a good run game, and a devastating defense that's healthy when they play them. And I think that there's a good shot with that. So, I also think realistically, you know, yeah, he could go somewhere else. The Chargers could pick him up. The Raiders could pick him up. There's all these hypes. And a lot of this would be exciting, right? And, you know, see Tom Brady in a new light. But the reason I have is because Tom Brady knows legacy is important, and he's had it with one team. He's a smart guy. He'll look around at all these guys that went to other teams and see how badly it's gone historically wise. He can keep his system, know his system, play within his system, get paid to be in New England and stay and remain a legend there forever. And he always will be, but I think he'd be much better off in his own mind just staying where he started. So I'm doing the chalk there and saying Tom Brady stays in New England, but I do think they'll also draft a guy that might actually be where Eason goes. They'll have him develop behind Tom Brady for the next couple of seasons. So that was it. That was the game of quarterback carousel, Tony.
We did it.
We made it through. Hopefully you're still listening, faithful listener, because that was a long one. But hopefully you guys enjoy the show. Tony, thanks for coming back and doing Tony Tuesdays.
I appreciate it. Can I? So last week I left you guys with a homework assignment. I have one more homework assignment.
All right.
I got one more for the fans. All right. Now, the Steelers, this is, you can't answer no, I don't want either. Okay. Let's say the Steelers are going to get a veteran backup this year, right? That is going to happen. And it is going to be one of the following two players.
Okay.
Which, and these are two players the Steelers fans have watched a lot. Which of these two players would you rather watch backing up Ben Roethlisberger and having him go in the event that Ben has to go down again? Okay. Those two players are Joe Flacco or Andy Dalton. Who would you rather see in black and gold? Andy Dalton.
Andy Dalton. Whole way.
Really?
Yeah. Just neither are going to do a lot for me. Joe Flacco, to me, it's funny. We did not even mention Joe Flacco in this last segment.
First of all, he's like uncuttable. His contract is just absurd. The fact that Denver took that on is just ridiculous.
Yeah, it's just so bad of Denver. But yeah, I would take Dalton simply because a few years ago, I would have absolutely said Flacco. I just think where Flacco is in his career, I have a hard time investing in him. I think if you put Dalton in an offense, he could help keep you competitive, which is what he did for the Bengals. The Bengals just have horrible team structure, and I think Dalton kind of got screwed by having to play for such a horrible organization that doesn't know how to keep its stuff together. Yeah, if I had to pick one of the other right now, it would be Andy Dalton. If we're talking all time in their primes, absolutely Joe Flacco.
Right now, it's got
to
be right now.
But yeah, right now I'm taking Andy Dalton to back up over Joe Flacco. If I had my choice of anyone in this current class of people to back up Ben Roethlisberger, if they had $1 billion, it'd be Teddy Bridgewater. I think that guy's a very good quarterback. He's a good leader, and I like the cut of his jib.
Matt Ryan. You wouldn't rather have Matt Ryan?
Get out of here, Tony.
All right, that'll do it. Not even my outro.
This is my job now. That'll do it for the show. Thanks so much for listening. Really appreciate all the people that listen and contribute. If you want to join the fun on a lot of stuff we do with our Facebook group, go to Facebook, search Locked On Steelers. You can join that group. You can ask to join. I'll send you to the group. There's hundreds of listeners that comment there all the time. We make jokes. We have a good time. We ask questions. We also do our Mock Draft Monday contests where you can join that there. If you want to talk a little about the quarterback carousel, this is a place to play. Definitely a place to play it. You can also reach me on Twitter at Carter Critiques. Tony, where can they find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Steeler Country. Chris, thanks for having me on, and I will talk to you guys next week.
Yes, talk to Tony. We'll be back next week. Don't forget, if you like the show, please hit the subscribe button on Google Podcasts or Spotify Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, wherever podcasts are hosted. Leave a 5-star review and a positive comment. You will get read on the show as long as it is safe for work. Thanks for listening. See you tomorrow.
Rock and roll.
Whoa, dude, that was wild.
What happened?
No, I'm just saying it was 35 minutes.
Oh, yeah.